I'm Carla Hall from ABC's The Chew and the author of Carla's Comfort Foods, Favorite Dishes from Around the World. You're listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show on AM 830 KLAA. Hootie hoo!
And a little program note, thanks to Carla Hall. Carla is going to be in Los Angeles for Super Bowl weekend. And on February 12th is the annual Taste of the NFL, which will be at the Peterson Automotive Museum the Miracle Mile area of Los Angeles. And Carla graciously will be our guest at 10 a.m. to talk up Taste of the NFL and kind of go over all the things that are happening with her. So we're delighted about that. Welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Ducks hockey and Angels baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, and I'm happy to welcome back my colleague, Chef Andrew Gruhl of the Slapfish Restaurant Group. Chef Andrew, good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Andy. It's good to be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Chef. And we should mention we're enthusiastically presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Chef Andrew, we were hoping that 2022 for chefs and restaurateurs and independent restaurants would be a time of return to more normalcy. Unfortunately, there have been some major hitches along the get along, as they like to say, and also the fact that 2 years later, on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, you're dealing with this tremendous amount of uncertainty, which makes planning difficult, if not impossible. And it's just, you know, you're kind of reacting to what comes up day by day, week by week. This last week, I know there was an organized drive with independent chefs and restaurateurs to lobby Washington and say the rescue money that went to restaurants last year, which, as you have informed our audience before, was exhausted rather quickly, there is a dire need again. Can you talk a little bit about that movement and, you know, trying to handicap whether you think there may be anything else in the pipeline for struggling independent restaurateurs and chefs?
Certainly. Lot to unpack here, but, you know, in summary, it's not just that restaurants are facing the struggles from COVID. They're facing the struggles that are related to COVID, i.e. customers not going out as much. There's still a lot of fear out there in the market, rightfully so. There's been a conditioned change for people to now be ordering third-party delivery a lot more consistently. So, for example, a guest who may have gone out once a week or once every other week might now do Uber Eats instead of ever going out. Alcohol, which has been the lifeblood of restaurants, small, medium, and large, for years, the alcohol component of a restaurant's profit and loss statement is gone now because a lot of people are buying alcohol, making drinks at home. They're staying in. They're not going to bars because bars a lot more are, you know, they're closer settings, right? You know, unless you have the luxury of being in Southern California, where you can be outdoors. So there's a lot of issues that are affecting the industry overall is down on a sales basis. Profits are virtually non-existent as they've been very tight to begin with by virtue of the supply chain crisis, the labor crisis, and the cost of goods associated with inflation being at 40-year record highs. So definitely not a great time. Now, when it comes to the restaurant relief funds, just to refresh the listeners' memories, there was a $500 billion, a huge amount of money that was allocated to this, and it was gone in a second as part of the COVID relief. Now, I'm going to be a bit contrarian here, Andy, and I'm going to say I'm not grossly advocating for more money to be printed to give to restaurants because I think that's just going to create political quagmire. People are going to say, no, we've spent too much, and others are going to say, we got to help this industry, and then it turns into, well, why not this industry? And then it's, you know, 8 months of trying to earmark pork in a bill only to leave the restaurant sitting there waiting, sweating, and possibly shutting down along the way. My solution and what I've been suggesting before the pandemic is that small businesses, restaurants specifically, have no access to capital. We never have. The SBA does not underwrite loans if you don't have existing assets. So if I was trying to open a restaurant, good luck. I couldn't raise money myself for a decade.
Believe me, you know that from personal experience, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so if there's a way that Congress can get together in order to loosen up the regulations to encourage the banks or to put perhaps back some of the loans, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to put the money out there. These can be low-interest loans that restaurants need just to get through what we hope is the final phase of this pandemic. I mean, we printed now, they're actually spent, almost $6 trillion in relief money. And you got to sometimes ask, where has a lot of this gone? And we've heard the stories where people are just kind of, you know, paying off their lobby friends. And I think there's a lot of waste in all of that money. And it's really unfortunate because it could have gone directly to the restaurants. They stopped the employee relief credit, which was a phenomenal program in the IRS where you would get money back based on keeping employees aboard through your payroll taxes. And they cut that out. They completely cut that program. And it was a phenomenal program. So, you know, there's some confusing things, of course, that happened up above. It's way above my pay level. But I, you know, where I go is that I just don't have much faith in them refreshing the fund. I think we got to just get access to capital at low interest.
Shivandru, point well taken and very well explained. Another dilemma that independent restaurants are facing right now that I've heard many chefs and restaurateurs tell me about as I've had this discussion with them. Historically, and you know, we're talking about pre-COVID, when you deal with a full-line distributor for your restaurants, if you stick with the same full-line distributor for a period of time, you'll notice that there is price creep that comes in there on the items that you buy. So most thoughtful chefs and restaurateurs, what they do to keep their full-line supplier honest, and there are three major ones that are operating in our market here, what you do is cost comparisons and do some bids. And of course, from a business point of view, this makes sense. Well, that was all pre-COVID because from what I understand now, there's no negotiation, and most of the big full-line suppliers, what they're actually doing now because they can't get enough drivers and salespeople is they're cutting accounts. So if you've been, you know, loyal with whatever one of these full-line distributors is for any period of time, you can get a phone call from them one day that they say, sorry, I can't service you anymore. And then what do you do? So is this endemic right now, Chef Andrew? I mean, a crazy way to do business.
It is a crazy way to do business. And I think that this also, we're seeing it across various industries. In the press conference the other day, Biden even talked about the meat processing industry. I've been banging the drum on that for years about the need to deregulate, decentralize meat processing, meat packing, start buying from local farmers. And now what we've seen is this perfect storm of supply chain issues, inflation in the midst of a pandemic. And what it's done is it's consolidated the power and it's created these quasi-monopolies. And we're seeing it, yes, with the broadline distributors. What's happening is they're saying, we've got the goods. You need the goods. And we're not going to take a hit on cost. And we're going to increase our prices as much as we have to, knowing that the restaurants are the ones who have to deal with the end user, the customer. And when we increase our prices, our business could completely go under because people stop coming in. The broadline distributors say, take it or leave it. I've got X product and I've got X times two who wants it, so I can create a bidding war. And then what they're doing is they're screwing the small to medium-sized businesses because obviously they're going to give preference to the bigger buyers, those who want those economies of scale. And it is decimating the industry. Now, of course, the beauty of a free market, right, and we can talk about pros and cons, one of the beauties of a free market is that creates open competition. There's a lot of barriers to entry, but we are starting to see some of the smaller mom-and-pop distributors jump up. We use those guys. We don't use any of the big guys. We use small mom-and-pops, and we've now connected markets by virtue of these small mom-and-pops, and it's been great for everybody, but it's taken a lot of time, a lot of work, and frankly, even beyond the small mom-and-pops, what's happening is that you're seeing prices increased across the supply chain by virtue of gas prices, et cetera. So everything is up, and it's tough on everybody. But, yes, there is price gouging going on, and a lot of restaurants are being taken advantage of.
Well, Shivandra, I'm glad to hear that some of the smaller independent distributors are stepping up. And there's one thing that we know for certain. A different time will come and this will resolve itself. And I know a lot of chefs and restaurateurs are going to remember who treated them with respect and those that didn't. So on that happy note, Chef, we'll leave it for this week. We look forward to picking up the conversation in 2 weeks and, you know, always holding good thoughts. Again, thanks, Chef Andrew. Food fans, that's our show. A tip of the toque to my co-host, Chef Andrew Gruhl. A salute to Aaron here at Angel Stadium and Technical Excellence. Kudos also to Adam Bell on social media. Remember, we're off next Saturday because of Ducks hockey, but we'll be right back here February 5th with a new big show. We're proudly presented to you by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Doctors in the Dugout with Alan Beyer, MD, and Jonathan Kaplan, MD, takes the field next. Dine well and be safe.